Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. The schedule is still kind of jumbled around because we have more stuff going on this time of year, and certain guests could only make it on certain days, and then we also had the 500th episode on this past Monday. So today is going to be the mailbag. That's today's show. We haven't done a mailbag in a while. The mails kind of stopped coming in for a little bit. They jumped back up. So thanks to everybody who sent in those questions. And again, if you guys can send in those questions whenever you possibly can about any topic that you want me to cover, that helps us keep the lights on here as well as keep the content rolling moving forward. And we have a ton of stuff to ask about too. So you guys know what to do in that respect. Today's show is brought to you by Mazooma. More on them in a bit. I'm just going to dive right into these questions. There's some good ones. We have whether or not I consider the Lakers title contenders. I think it's a little more difficult than a yes or no question. LA-based movies, whether or not you guys can ask non-basketball questions in here. Yes, you can, obviously. Send them in. Let those questions rip. Now, I'm not going to answer too many goofy questions per podcast here because the focus of this podcast is the Lakers, but I like going off the rails every so often. So send in questions whenever you get them. Let's dive into this thing, though. We'll start down here with the with this question. We'll just dive into the funniness and get it kind of out of the way. This is from Saul the Kid. What are your top five movies based in L.A.? So I'm not going to go based off of movies shot in L.A., but movies in which the plot takes place for the majority of that time in Los Angeles. I don't have these in any particular order. I like The Big Lebowski. I'll say this. I think The Big Lebowski is a little overrated, but it has some of the best kind of moments in cinema that I can really recall. When they're trying to bury their friend or they have his ashes, they got him cremated, and they try to throw him over the bluffs or off of the bluffs, and he comes back all over them. That's my kind of dark humor. I really enjoy that. Jackie Brown is just an absolute classic. I can't get enough of that movie. That's just incredible. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Funny story about Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I had been dating my now wife for maybe a year. Maybe. I was still in that stretch where you're really trying to impress the opposite parents. And I'm always trying to impress you. Roger and Linda, if you guys are listening, I'm always impressing you, I promise. But we were sitting there in their living room, and Roger goes, "Oh my God, I love this movie." And he turns it on. And it's like 5 minutes before that scene. And if those of you who are listening have seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you know exactly which scene I'm talking about. The pool scene with the sprinklers rolling. And I'm sitting right next to my future father-in-law, whom I've known for a matter of months. And it was some situation. Fortunately, Jen's younger sister, Kristen, noticed what was going on and goes, "Dad, change that channel. You're killing Fred." I was looking anywhere but the TV. So that's my Fast Times at Ridgemont High story. Boys in the Hood, another classic. Straight Out of Compton. I thought that was I really enjoyed that movie. I thought they did a really good job telling the story. I think they left some stuff out. I thought it was a little safe, in my opinion, but for the most part, I thought it was really, really good. And then I think of all the movies listed here, Training Day is my favorite. The soundtrack to that movie is incredible. The movie itself is incredible. Denzel won an Oscar for it. It was just a really good movie. So those are my top five movies based in LA. Let's move on to the next question, though. This is from Mr. Awesome 03000. They ask, basically, they have a few questions here. But since we have a week to go before training camp, can we still ask nonsense questions? Absolutely. Rank from highest to lowest for deadline trade or free agent for 2019. KD, Kawhi Leonard, Karl Anthony Towns, Unibrow Butler, Craig G. Am I missing somebody there? I don't know. That's all right. Craig G is the actual the name of the person asking the question. I can't seem to figure out how to change my username. It was set up by my kids. I don't know. Mr. Awesome 03000 is pretty cool. Thanks for the podcast and keeping me semi-sane for the last 3 months. Thank you guys for keeping me sane for the last 3 months. But if I was to rank those guys, I'm going to rank them. I don't want to rank trade pieces because certain players would cost more, and the return on that investment or the return on that trade proposal is just, I'd be here all night. So if all of those guys were free agents and all of them could sign for the same amount of money, I would rank them Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Karl Anthony Towns, and then Kawhi Leonard. And then Jimmy Butler is significantly lower than those guys. I'd probably put Klay Thompson ahead of him. I think Chris Middleton is literally going to be cheaper than Jimmy Butler. I think he's a better investment than those guys. So that's how I would list that. It's a tough one, though. I mean, all those guys, you can ask me the same question tomorrow, and I might have a different stance on that. So that's always fun. Let's take a quick second here. I'm going to talk to you guys about Mazuma. We're going to take another brief second, and I'll come back to talk to you guys about the rest of your questions. Are you a small business owner? Is keeping your books and taxes in order keeping you from the business you love? Well, then you should talk to my friends over at Mazuma USA. For only $75 a month, their experts can keep track of all your small business's finances, including bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes. All the work is done by licensed CPAs, bookkeepers, and accountants in the U.S. Your Mazuma bookkeeper reconciles your accounts, receipts, and statements to provide a complete monthly financial report. Your Mazuma any time for financial questions and advice for free. So call 213-947-6926 to set up your free consultation. Write that number down, 213-947-6926. One more time, 213-947-6926. Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. All right, this next question has a few questions, and usually in most circumstances when the questions are really coming in, I'll try to break up the same, you know, if four or five questions are in the same thing, I'll try to break that up. But given the situation, given how long it's been since I've done a mailbag, I'll just empty all of them out here. So first question, if you could add any Lakers role player from any previous team to this year's squad, who would it be? Two, who wins one versus one, Isaac Bonga or LiAngelo Ball? That's a fun one. Three, who wins the 2000 Lakers, the first championship of the three-peat versus the 2009 Lakers, the first championship with Powell? All right, so I'll start with that first one. If I could add any Lakers role player from any previous team. Man, it depends on how we're defining role player, right? Like, Powell isn't a role player, but the Lakers could seriously use prime Powell on this team, right? Bynum is stretching the how we would define role player. I'd probably say Lamar Odom. I would probably say Lamar Odom, and I would see how willing he is to play the five. I'd give him all of Michael Beasley's minutes, all of JaVale McGee's minutes. Not all of JaVale McGee. You can play Odom and JaVale in the same lineup. I'd give him all of Zubats' minutes. I'd give him all of Lance's minutes if I could squeeze that out. So I'd probably go with Odom, although, you know, some people might say because he won an annual award, he might not count as a role player. So if that's the case, shoot. Ron Artest makes a lot of sense for this team, I think. Or Trevor Ariza, who I think the Lakers might take a look at over the course of this season as guys get bought out or guys start asking for trades to playoff teams. So those two guys, I just want as many wings on this team as possible. So those two guys, I think, make the most sense. To answer part two of that question, Isaac Bonga versus LiAngelo Ball. Bonga is younger than LiAngelo Ball is, but I think he's, well, I don't think. I know he's an immensely more talented basketball player. I just think those 3 years of developmental period, the 18 to 20, that's where you start seeing kind of a gap in development. So maybe LiAngelo Ball has a chance there, but Bonga's longer. I think he could utilize his length. LiAngelo Ball isn't the kind of shooter who's going to punish him, or he isn't quick enough to really punish a taller player. He can't really defend. I don't think LiAngelo Ball can defend his shadow. So I would go with Bonga, but I'd watch that. If they put that on pay-per-view, I'd spend like $5 to watch that matchup. And then the final question here, who wins the 2000 Lakers, the first championship of the three-peat versus the 2009 Lakers, the first championship with Powell? My money is heavily on the 2000 Lakers. I mean, you have – that's Shaq. I mean, that's Shaq at the peak of his powers. And as much as we might have liked Bynum and his ability to maybe guard Shaq, there is no ability to guard Shaq. Shaq would torch Powell. Now, I think Powell and those Lakers would probably give Shaq some issues on the other end as well. But no, I mean, you take Shaq. Those Lakers, I mean, I think it was the following year when they went 16-1. Those were some of the best teams ever. I'll go out on a limb and I'll call them some of the best teams ever. And you know, the back-to-back teams that Kobe was on with Powell and Odom and all those guys, they were a lot of fun. They are some of my I might actually like those teams more than the three-peat Shaq, or those three-peat teams with Shaq, just in terms of the style of play. And it was kind of like those people who can remember the three-peat will kind of tell you, like, those. There was a lot of frustration there because it's not a lot of fun to be the favorite going into an NBA season. Like, you want to be a team that feels like it has a chance, but you don't want to be the outright favorite, because chances are you're gonna have some disappointment at the end of the year. So that's my stance there. I think the 2000 Lakers probably beat the 2009 Lakers in five. I think they beat them in five or six. Six would be like a close game that just kind of went the 2009 Lakers' way. Maybe they get really hot shooting the ball. But I think that 2000 team probably dominates. We'll answer one more question here before we move on and call it a night. This is about – I want to just – I don't like ranting. I don't like standing on a soapbox. But JRover76 basically asked if the Lakers were kind of trolling the Kings with having their Pride Night on them. No, man. Like, they just – they wanted to – the NBA is really progressive. They're all about inclusion. And the Lakers being the marquee franchise and picking up that mantle as well and going out of their way to make their own statement is pretty damn cool. And as I'm saying, this is somebody who has a younger brother who is gay. I've known he was going to be gay since he was like 5 years old. And when he finally came out of the closet, I live in a very conservative area. He went through some tough times. And I think it's really cool that one of the marquee brands across sports, across the entire globe, is out there saying, no, you're welcome at our games. Don't listen to the Neanderthals. We want to involve you in this. I think that's really cool. I really, really do. So I'm going to take another quick second here, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, we have two more questions to answer. All right, this comes from 175 Will. What's up, Anthony? Love the podcast. I'm wondering if League Pass is worth the expensive price since the Lakers are on national television for most of the year with over 40 games. Should I trip if I only get to see LeBronzo for half the games this year? By the way, I'm a college student, so I don't know if it'd be too much of a year-round distraction for a Laker nerd. That last part about like being distraction. Look, I've been there. I always kind of knew early on that I wanted to do something like this. I just didn't really know the avenue to get here, and I certainly took a fun avenue to get here. It took a while, but to answer the question, I don't know. It depends. Like, if you're out of state and you can't watch the Lakers otherwise, I would get a group of friends together and see if we can, as a group, invest into League Pass so that I can watch the Lakers as much as I possibly can. I mean, you can, if you split it up amongst four or five people, it becomes pretty reasonable. But if you're the only person who is making this investment, and I believe Reddit has threads every so often that either give you links to where there will be streaming games, or people can go in on League Pass together. There are ways around this to make the investment not so daunting. But if I – look, Laker fans everywhere, this season, this ride with LeBron James as a Los Angeles Laker, like, this is going to be special. I'm building it up a little bit, and I might be getting myself ready for disappointment, as I have over the last five-ish years with the Dodgers, but the Lakers are not the Dodgers. The Dodgers have been inept for basically all of my lifetime. They've gotten their stuff together, but you know, sometimes it takes a long time to shake ineptitude. And fortunately with the Lakers, and LeBron actually said this, that he thinks the Lakers as an organization are further along than the Cleveland Cavaliers were when he arrived back there from Miami. And I think it's an apt point to make. I think it's a very fair point, and I think it's the right point to make. The Lakers are probably in a better spot. They have a better history. There's a better tradition to winning. You don't have to teach the entire organization how to win as he probably had to with Cleveland. And so, yeah, I think if you can find a group of friends to go on in on this together, even if you're a college student and you're afraid to be distracted, get your homework done early and try to watch as many games as you possibly can this year, because it's going to be a ride. And look, man, you never know. Sometimes, and I'll speak to this. Sometimes that investment in college, where you really buy into your passion, pays off, as it did with me in the show. Last question here. Hey, Anthony, in your opinion, would you consider the Lakers title contenders for this upcoming season? If not, why? So it's hard because it's really easy to just point at the Warriors and say, no, the Lakers are not. Any team in the NBA is not, right? But I don't necessarily roll with that. They've been to the finals for so many, with four straight years, five-ish straight years. That takes a toll. Now, LeBron has also been to the finals quite a few times in a row. But look, if a few things go right for the Lakers. So one of the things that LeBron was saying was that Luke is really implementing his defensive system, and that's what they're focused on. And then they'll let their defense create offense, and as their offense, as they get on the same page over the course of the season, then the offense can kind of catch up to the defense. And I think that's what we would have seen last year if the Lakers didn't run into the injury bug the way that they did. Now, we're already kind of seeing Mo Wagner has been banged up since Summer League. That's something to monitor. That's a really long time for a contusion to stick around. Ivica Zubac apparently was sick. Lonzo Ball is still dinged up and isn't able to play in the scrimmages and stuff. So if the injury bug stays away from the Lakers, I think they can catch some teams by surprise in the playoffs. You have playoff Rondo, you have playoff LeBron. I think Kyle Kuzma could legitimately be special. I'm slowly but surely buying in more and more and more on Kyle Kuzma. And look, if this young core is ready to step up and play with LeBron, then you could be really looking at a special season this year, which gets back to my point that I made in the last question. Go ahead and make the investment in League Pass. It just kind of sort of makes sense. Now, if you're talking about title contenders, like, it depends on how you define the word. I would put obviously the Warriors ahead of them. I need to be proven wrong. This needs to be proven incorrect before I say move the Houston Rockets out of there and put the Lakers ahead of them. Utah, I think, is getting ready for what could be a pretty special team out there. Boston looks like they could be world beaters out east. Even, I think it was Klay Thompson said something along the lines of that team out east is our toughest competition, and I would mostly agree. You have hopefully a full year of Ben Simmons and Embiid being fully healthy, and the additions or whatever that they made to that roster out there, that'll be something to watch. Toronto adds Kawhi Leonard to a team that already took significant strides forward last year, and they no longer have DeMar DeRozan on their roster. So you have a bunch of those are, I would say, the bona fide title contenders, but I think the Lakers are kind of in that next tier of, you know, if a few things go right, if the right guys take the right strides forward, maybe they surprise some folks and really challenge for a spot in the finals or a spot in the Western Conference Finals. I just don't know if it's worth it to put those kinds of expectations on a team that is already, like, they aren't willing to put those expectations on themselves right now. So I don't think we should either. I hope that makes sense. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Sorry for releasing this at such a late hour today. For a recap, I woke up. My dog was on the other side of the gate for some reason. I still have no idea how that happened. And then I was pulling out of the garage to run a couple errands today and got the rear spoiler on my CX-5 stuck on my garage door. So that was knocked off track, and now I have some damage I have to fix on my CX-5. And then my dog, while the guy was fixing my garage, my dog got after a possum, and I unfortunately had to put the possum down and out of its misery. But my dog, we were a little concerned that Callie tore her ACL. It looks like that's not the case, but long story short, it was a long-ass day today. Thank you for those of you who waited for this show. I'm going to release this as soon as possible, and then we'll be back at it. I'm going to talk to Pete in tomorrow's show to preview the game over the weekend. And then on the other side of the weekend, I think I'll be able to talk to Adam, who I host Locked On NBA with. The Lakers are playing the Denver Nuggets, so the Lakers are kind of have a day or two where we can look back on the game that was played and then also look ahead to the game that might be on its way. We don't know how much LeBron is going to play over the weekend, so if he doesn't play a bunch, then there isn't really much point in analyzing too much from that game, but you never know. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day, and that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast.